Okay, everybody, week two of the Travel Vertical podcast. I've got Lori Jo Miller Farr with me. Lori, welcome.
Good morning. Good afternoon, Adam.
Yeah, it's great to have you. We made it to week two. You know, it wasn't a one-hit wonder. We're back. That's a good thing.
Oh, I'm so excited to be back. Thank you.
Well, obviously it's been, and I feel like this is happening every time, and it's going to happen every time, but so much happens in the industry in a couple of weeks. And I think we've had a very eventful couple of weeks since our last episode. First and foremost, it's Tourism Week, National Travel and Tourism Week today.
In fact, the whole week.
That's right. Not just today, right, Lori?
Yeah.
Well, exactly. Well, tell me a little bit about National Travel and Tourism Week. Obviously, it happens every year. Why is that such a special week for our industry?
Since 1983, there's been a congressional declaration that this is indeed National Travel and Tourism Week, the first week of May, you know, around May Day, I think that theme. And every year there's a theme. So it's run by the United States U.S. Travel Association. And this year, the theme is hashtag power of travel.
Has there ever been a better hashtag for National Travel and Tourism Week? That coming out of COVID, the power of travel to kind of restart the economy in the U.S. and beyond, I think the power of travel is pretty appropriate for this week.
Yes, I agree. It's a time when travel and tourism professionals around the country unite around this one message that holds value for the economy. And what's cool is it's not too late to jump on board. It's the whole week, 2 to 8 May. And if anybody goes to ustravel.org, they can find a toolkit. So all the digital elements you might want to support on your website, on your social, are there. And you can just download them for free.
Okay, let's be very clear on that then, because so you're saying that on the U.S. Travel website that people can go gather assets to use to promote National Travel and Tourism Week, and all those assets are put together and ready for them to use?
Yeah, that's right. So the hashtag for them is ustravel.org, and then there's a /events/ National Travel and Tourism Week, or just Google it up. And you'll see NTTW21 is the hashtag, and it says toolkit. So click there, and you get all the different sizes and banners and squares and rectangles that you need.
Okay, everybody that's listening, make sure that you go download that toolkit. Use those assets. It's great content, and it should definitely help drive the concept of the power of travel as we, you know, we're breaking out and trying to kickstart this economy. What a great way to do it.
Yeah, that's right. And of course, everybody wants that to be trending. And I'm sure it is. It was this morning when I used it. So there's a logo and all the sizes and the social media cover photos and Zoom backgrounds, whatever you'd like. And in fact, it overlaps with this week. We've also got another thing going on, which is small business week.
And those really go hand in hand, right, Lori? I mean, small business and National Travel and Tourism Week, they kind of belong together.
I think that's right. So, you know, if your social media manager is wondering what to do this week, there's two answers right there.
Yeah, their job's easy this week. Don't pay them this week.
It's never easy.
Yeah, you're right. It's never easy. Well, I'm glad that we start with that. I mean, I want everybody to make sure that you utilize those assets and make sure you celebrate both, you know, National Travel and Tourism Week and Small Business Week. So, Lori, you sent me something that really stood out to you. I thought it was an interesting campaign, and we talked about some fun campaigns last week, but you talked about a tourism campaign, the invasion of the cicadas. Tell me about this.
Okay. Well, so I had to learn how to pronounce that word. I really didn't know.
Did I do it right?
Let's find out.
Cicada.
There you go. Did you hear that?
I think I did it. I think I was right.
Okay. And here's an alternative.
Cicada.
Oh, no.
And here's the plural.
Cicadae.
So there you go. They're coming by the billions. And they are coming to 15 states around the East Coast, plus Washington, D.C., plus for some reason, Texas.
Oh, boy.
You know what they are?
Oh, yeah, I know what a cicada is for sure. They're loud and obnoxious.
Yes. So they're very loud indeed. Apparently, when they come out every 17 years, they're the biggest insect emergence on the planet. And
oh, wow.
Out of the ground, when the ground reaches 64 degrees, it's magic. And then they come out for the sole purpose of mating. And the ones who sing are the males. And apparently their song can reach 100 decibels and can be heard a mile away.
Wow.
So it's, you know, it's a big deal that's coming, and it hasn't, they haven't been here since 2004, and they won't be coming back for another 17 years.
Well, Lori, I'm going to ask you the question that I think a lot of our listeners are asking right now. And that's, you know, this is very fascinating to learn these facts about cicadas. Why are we talking about it on the Travel Vertical?
Oh, well, first of all, it's kind of bad timing, I think, because we could use our outdoor spaces right now during the pandemic. But, you know, our outdoor spaces apparently are going to be taken over. Now, there's two DMOs who have cottoned onto this thing, and one who said, this is great, let's promote it. And the other one who said, oh, this is great, let's promote that they're not coming here.
I like that. Which destinations are those?
So we've got Visit Fairfax in Virginia, who said, look, they're coming, and we are going to introduce a fun campaign. We're inviting people to play a bingo card to track them.
Cicada bingo.
Yes, that's it. Exactly. So they're putting out all those facts that I started telling you about, and then they're having cicada stroll bingo. So you get a bingo card online, and you can track them near the water, on a piece of art, at a restaurant, on a hiking trail. Where did you see them? And tick it off and win a prize.
How unique is that? I mean, I've heard a lot of advertising campaigns. I've never heard cicada bingo.
Well, you got to take a picture to prove that you saw them. And then, of course, you know, who doesn't want a custom cicada face mask?
I like it. So Fairfax is really embracing this idea that the cicadas are coming. Let's make a scavenger hunt out of it. I think that's an interesting strategy. And I also find it interesting that there's a destination that took a completely opposing strategy. Yep. Tell me about Ocean City, Maryland.
All right. So before I tell you just one last thing that Visit Fairfax wants you to know.
Sure.
Is you can eat them.
Protein.
They taste like shrimp. Yeah.
They taste like shrimp?
Yeah, apparently.
That's a bold statement. I like shrimp.
Well, you know, you can see them anyway. If you live in one of these 15 states, you can look in your backyard, and there's this, I mean, go online. They'll show you what these holes look like in your backyard, and that's where they're going to come out. And they're coming soon.
So, Lori, how about you and I consider starting a cocktail sauce business? If they taste like shrimp, let's start exporting it to Fairfax.
Not a bad idea, Adam, not your best, but it's an idea. Now, in Ocean City, Maryland, they had a city council meeting, apparently, quite recently, and they looked back and they said, well, what did we do in 2004? Because we've got all these scientists who are telling us that the cicadas are not conducive to our soil in this sandy location. So they apparently did a campaign, and they're going to dust that off and bring that back out. And, you know, they're promoting that if you don't like it, come here, Ocean City, Maryland.
Okay, so if you like the taste of shrimp, go to Fairfax. If you don't like the taste of shrimp, come to Ocean City.
There you go.
No, that's actually really interesting, because one of the things that's always a little bit scary to do in marketing is to do a campaign at a competitor's expense, you know, and it's like, hey, these guys have cicadas, we don't, come here. I think it's an interesting play, because if it comes once every 17 years, it's not like we're putting down these other destinations, but the reality is cicadas are going to be a problem in 17 states. And so Ocean City has taken an interesting strategy here.
Yes, I haven't fully researched it yet, what they're going to do. I don't think they've actually announced it, but I'm going to double check on them today, and we'll let you know if they have announced it. But they're going to bring something back that they think worked quite well.
Interesting.
Yeah. So that's our summer. The British aren't coming, but the insects are.
So week two of the Travel Vertical, we've already had a 5-minute segment on cicadas. that should tell everybody that we are a little bit unpredictable here on the Travel Vertical Podcast.
Yeah, it's an unpredictable world out there, isn't it?
Well, let's talk New York City, because there was a major announcement coming out of New York City that I think will have a big impact on the industry. Do you want to tell us a little bit about that?
Yes, New York City did a global press conference for the media, and, you know, virtual, of course, but it was a super slick production, even had snippets of a Broadway show. And so $30 million is the announcement made by the mayor, and it's more than has ever been spent on a tourism campaign in New York City. And of course, there has been an announcement that New York is planning to be fully reopened July 1.
Oh, wow.
You know, so it's called NYC Reawakens. And that's interesting because I always think of New York as the city that never sleeps.
Right.
So in this case, it reawakens. And so, yes, that's gotten media attention globally.
Yeah. You know, you want indication that the pandemic is trending downward. New York City makes the announcement, New York is back, essentially. To me, that says we are headed for better times with this pandemic.
I hope so. It was a big announcement and the biggest ever bet on Big Apple tourism. And there you are. So it's a major comprehensive marketing and advertising campaign that kicks off in June. We don't have the exact messaging yet because it hasn't been shared. But there is a website for this as well if you want to keep on top of it. It's nycgo.com/wish you were here.
nycgo.com/wish you were here?
Correct. And on the wish you were here, you'll find there are hyphens between those words. But it's part of a campaign that's asking New Yorkers, and of course there's about 8 million of them, to invite friends and family to visit. So again, you know, the VFR element, visiting friends and relatives, is a backbone of the recovery.
Well, I think it's important. This is going to be really valuable for New York City. And I think it's important for all of our other destinations that have been, as you look at the industry, New York City has been at a disadvantage for the last year compared to a lot of the outdoor, already naturally socially distanced spaces like national parks and things like that. That's why we've seen record numbers for national parks. And so I do think that it's important that these destinations that have had a leg up over the last year or so also understand the impact of a $30 million campaign from New York City, that natural advantage that they've had, they need to be prepared to get back to some of this competitive messaging because, you know, New York does have an opportunity to take back a big segment of market share by launching this campaign.
True. And of course, it's going to be domestic first. We all know that. But here are some green shoots of recovery that they mentioned, that on a recent Saturday, 4,100 people rode the ferry over to the Statue of Liberty in Ellis Island. 4,100 people on a Saturday. And that was up from 2,500 people 3 weeks earlier.
Wow.
So that was a good indicator. And then another one, the Metropolitan Museum of Art, which, you know, is not cheap. It's $25 to get in. But anyway, right. The Met saw 7,000 daily visitors last week, and that's up from 4,000 when it first reopened last summer.
That makes the word reawakening all the more appropriate for this campaign, because you can literally hear in those numbers that New York is reawakening.
Yes. I mean, they're not being silly about those numbers. They don't expect things are going to get back to where we were in 2019 until 24, 25, because
sure.
it's going to take the international visitor as well. And it's going to take Broadway.
Interesting. Okay. All right. New York, big announcement. And I think it's a really important thing for all of our industry friends to know. Anything else you want to talk about with New York?
Well, it's my hometown, so I could talk about New York all day long, and I won't. But it's important, I guess, that I'm talking about old metrics, you see, and so I hesitate to do that. But they put those old metrics out there, and that's counting of heads. You know, they gave us some metrics on the number of on the hotel stays, and I could give you those from STR as well. But, you know, it's also important that we look at the new metrics, and we look at community, and we look at resident sentiment, and we look at VFR.
Right, right. Okay, interesting stuff with New York. I know another thing that we wanted to touch on today is an emerging trend, and there's a few destinations that are, they're making a big effort to get some of these remote workers that have never before had the opportunity to be remote, and now they're kind of scattering all over the world. And there's a few destinations taking advantage of that. Do you want to talk about some of those?
Yeah, there are a number of destinations getting into that, and everyone's doing it somewhat differently. So a couple of the ones that I've highlighted are West Virginia, who's got a campaign now going, it's called Ascend WV, as in go up, you know, ascend. That's the name of the campaign. So anyway, they've got a fellow there called Brad Smith, who is chairman of Intuit. Intuit's a big company. He lives here in California. He's based in Silicon Valley, but he's a West Virginia native. So he and his wife have put some money behind this. They've got a remote worker incentive package that's pegged to $12,000 per person. And they give you free outdoor recreation, skiing or what have you. And they're targeting 1,000 people to move to West Virginia, take advantage of that package. They're starting with the first 50 and inviting them to Morgantown.
What a unique idea. We're actually now, we're paying people to come and live in our destination. The only destination I had ever heard about in the past that had done this is Alaska, with that pipeline money that when people would move up there, they live there for a year.
Oh yeah.
Then they could get the $2,000 a year, I think is what it was. But we're talking now $12,000 a year in West Virginia and free outdoor recreation. That is not a bad deal for a remote worker.
Especially if you love the outdoor recreation. We've got a whole bunch of them here. There's one that's been going for quite a while called Remote Tulsa, one word. They've been offering $10,000 cash and perks and access to a co-working space. There's another one going on in part of Michigan. There's another one in Kansas going on in Topeka, where they want you to take the money and some free Jimmy John sandwiches. And there's another one in Alabama, in a place called Lauderdale and Colbert counties, with a value of $10,000 per person.
So really, if you're a remote worker, what you're deciding between is, okay, Jimmy John's or outdoor recreation, which of these is more valuable to me?
Yep. And you know, they're running this I saw it in the San Francisco Chronicle because, you know, with companies like Facebook and Twitter and Google and the rest saying early on in the pandemic that workers could go remote, there's been a brain drain out of the San Francisco Bay Area, for sure. And some of those companies are saying you will not be paid what you're making in the San Francisco Bay Area. It's an expensive place to live. So if you go elsewhere, your salary will be adjusted to be more in line with the cost of living where you go.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So that will happen. But then you have these communities stepping up and saying, hey, we can even that out for you. And if anybody wants to know more, there's a website for that, of course, that I came across. It's called makemymove.com.
Makemymove.com.
Yeah, and they say their tagline is get paid to live closer to mom or to the mountains.
Well, that I tell you what, this is some of the most opportunistic marketing that I've seen from government organizations in a long time. It sounds like it might be a trend that we see continue to develop, and people are going to have a lot of options at their fingertips to really decide where they want to live and not be so tied down to a physical location where they're going to work.
For sure, it's happening. There's another one I wanted to tell you about in Puerto Rico.
Oh, yeah. Let's talk about this one. This one's cool.
Well, have you ever, say it out loud, discover Puerto Rico? It sounds kind of like desk over Puerto Rico.
Okay.
Desk over. So that's the name of this contest. They're saying to some lucky travelers, bring a desk over to the island to discover. Get it? So they are offering 6 2-week workcations, including round-trip airfare. And you'll stay in different hotels. So you want to go to Puerto Rico for 2 weeks. It's not a remote move, but it's a 2-week holiday.
I like that. I like that a lot.
And they say you will spend your 2 weeks working, but also playing from a variety of locations around the island. They talk about a floating villa off the coast. Do they talk about Old San Juan, where you have a one-bedroom suite at the Copa Marina Beach Resort and Spa? And they talk about a Regency suite at the Grand Hyatt. You can go all around the island. So this one's quite fun. I'm going to enter the contest because they're running it on their website, and you need to go there and sign up before the 13th of May.
Yeah, this might lower your chances of winning, Lori, because we're gonna say where people can go, but where can they go? Is it just the Visit Puerto Rico website?
Yeah, with a /, and the word is desk over. So I don't know if that makes sense to people, but it's desk over, one word. Not discover, but it sounds like.
Desk over Puerto Rico.
That's it.
Good stuff. All right, I like it. Well, that's an interesting campaign. It'll be fun to see, because I think that trend is going to continue to grow, especially if you see these companies start to cut the salaries at people that move to a place with a lower cost of living. I think these communities are going to take the opportunity to step that up and supplement the people's income. I think this is here to stay.
Why not? Love it.
Well, I know you did an interesting webinar this week, you being eTourism Summit as an organization, and you talked a lot about what technology tools DMOs want. Can you tell me about that?
Sure. I call it What DMOs Want because I couldn't get it out of my mind about that Mel Gibson movie, What Women Want. Okay. Do you remember?
I do. It's about advertising.
They did $70 million at the box office, and our webinar did not do $70 million at the box office, but it was a success. We had MMGY Global and SimpleView and Connect Travel come together with DMOs who signed up to be on this webinar last week and talk about 16 questions that had to do with marketing technology. And while MMGY does this survey on a regular basis, this time we asked the questions and got the results from the audience in real time. So it was kind of fun because, you know, you could see, well, what do I think? What does everybody else? What do my peers think? And how does that pan out in terms of, percentages? So the questions had things to do with your website, or if money were no object, what would you invest in? Would it be AI, or would it be VR, or would it be voice technology? It had to do with your biggest pain points when it came to marketing technology. And there were 16 questions. So we've got the answers.
Well, I think we want people to click on that link and to go find out what do destination marketers want. But why don't you give us a little teaser? What was one thing that was mentioned that DMOs are looking for right now from a marketing technology standpoint?
Sure. One of the things they are indicating, DMOs are extremely or somewhat concerned, 59% of them, about the evolution of data privacy policies. So we spend some time on this topic because it's new territory that's outside of a lot of people's comfort zone, and there are legal implications as well. So as we move into this third-party cookie-less world, what is going on? And do people feel confident about what they're doing? Because email marketing is really important, and developing your own first-party data is terribly important at the moment. So there's that. And I guess that hand-in-hand leads to the other key takeaway, which is that DMOs have a renewed sense of importance around the purposes of their own owned channels.
Yes.
Because they're going to be investing more in those. We must.
Yeah, that's fascinating. And that's the tip of the iceberg, right? Like, this was 16 questions, a detailed discussion. But I think that's a pretty good teaser to let people go find what the rest of those answers are. And that link can be found on the travelvertical.com, right?
That's right. Yeah, I think that's the current issue that's out now. And it's the destination marketing technology survey, but it won't be hard to find.
Great. Okay, well, we're running out of time, but I want to play a game. There's, you know, the most popular version of this game is Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? But the second most popular version of this game, nationally renowned, Who Wants to Be a CEO? Right. And I know you've got a few job openings that we want to highlight each week on the show. So tell me, what are some of the interesting job openings to highlight from the travel vertical this week?
They're all over the country. So the headline says from Sitka to Yuma. Do you know where Sitka is?
I do know where Sitka is, actually.
Where?
Sitka is in northern Alaska.
Yeah. You want to work there?
Do I want to work in Sitka, Alaska? I do for several months a year.
There you go.
And then I think I'd take advantage of West Virginia's financial program for the rest of the year.
Well, if you applied for Explore Fairbanks, that job's been filled.
Okay.
That job was filled internally. But Sitka, there's a job. Yuma. And then from San Diego to Nova Scotia. So if you imagine that with your finger, you're tracking all around North America. So there's jobs all over the place. We just took a snippet of some of the ones that are highlighted this week. For example, Chief Marketing Officer in Travel Nevada is interesting. And we check every week at the moment. Visit Phoenix is still looking for a president and a CEO, as is Destination BC in Vancouver. Meet Chicago Northwest, because we have an announcement that gentleman has moved to another DMO. And Colorado, well, the governor's office, we talked about that position because Kathy Ritter is not there anymore.
Right.
Greater Miami, where there's going to be a transition from Bill Talbert, who has held that job for over 30 years. So there's over 100 listings in the travel vertical.
Yeah. You know, if there was anybody that's been listening that has been considering making a move over the last year, the industry has more openings now, I think, than I've seen in a long time. So check out the travelvertical.com and see, you know, what positions are available. There's hundreds, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, yes. The answer is yes. And there are more than ever. And I try to check them every week to make sure they're still current, which sometimes can take a while. People have got a career link on their footer on the website, which is helpful, but some don't. So, and we also want to advertise for vendors and suppliers and partners of these DMOs. Now, like yourself, Adam, I think you told me you've got an opening this week.
Yeah. Speaking of which, you know, if anybody's ever wanted to jump from the destination side over to the agency side, or if you already work with an industry vendor, we're looking for an account manager to really help maintain and nurture our relationships that we have with our clients and take on more as we continue to grow.
Excellent.
Lori, this has been fun. Week two in the books.
Very good, Adam. It's been a real pleasure.
Absolutely. And everybody that's listening, please check out the full news for the industry at thetravelvertical.com. And other than that, we'll talk soon.